But again, you want to back it up and ask yourself, what is the customer journey here? What do I want the person that lands on this website to actually do? So start with that flow, right? Start with, what do you want them to do? What's going to be that funnel that you create for them? And then as well, there's two kinds of calls to action. So direct and indirect. So what I mean by that, the direct calls to actions is like, book now, right? Book a call, buy now. The indirect is something a little softer. So it's a free download, or listen to my podcast, or sign up for an email newsletter.
Online branding is easy. Make a logo, decide on colors, and you're all set. Really? Well, that's the first mistake. Mistake number one, right? Now, what are common mistakes we make while creating online branding for our client businesses? Angela Merzib is here to share all the good stuff related to branding and mistakes that we often make but yet don't realize. So let's welcome Angela on the show and get started. Welcome to Smart Web Creators. In this podcast, you will listen to creators creating amazing things on the web, and sometimes just me talking useful web stuff. I'm your host, Davinder Sinkanth. Let's get started. Hi, Angela. How are you?
Hi, Davinder. Great. How are you doing?
I am doing good. So before we get on with branding mistakes, well, we creative people don't admit we make mistakes, but yet we do make mistakes. So before we get onto that territory of mistakes, why don't you give a quick introduction about your online life?
Yeah, absolutely. So I am the owner of Be Bold, which is a branding agency. Mm-hmm. And we build bold, talkaboutable brands for high-achieving boss moms. So female-led business owners and moms who are business owners. I saw a need to help moms create a unique brand that uses their superpowers so they can leverage that to create a great presence for their brand online and to be a springboard for the change they want to make in the world with their business.
Awesome. So as I just mentioned, like, I'm sure you've also encountered this kind of a thing, like make a logo, decide on colors. Hey, your branding is done. Even a lot of clients that probably come to you even in early days or even today, like they just know about these two things. And guess what? This is a common perception, like branding is all about logo and colors. How wrong is this perception?
Yeah, the word brand has been thrown around and has a lot of definitions that are, some are right, some are wrong, but you're right about that. Your brand isn't just your logo. So your logo, it's an important element of your brand, but it's just one thing. It's the visual expression of your brand. So when we talk about your brand, it is more about who you are. So your business is what you do. Your brand is who you are. It's your personality. It's your values. It's that deeper stuff about your business. So I believe it was Jeff Bezos. He had a great expression about this. He said, your brand is what people say about you when you're not in the room. So it's your reputation. And if you don't take care to craft that reputation yourself, other people are doing it for you. So you need to take the reins on that and craft your reputation and craft, what position do you want to hold in the marketplace, right? What do you want people to think about you when they think about your brand? And what feeling do you want to leave people with? So I like to talk about a brand like a person. So we want to humanize your company because people connect with people and not cold corporations, right? So we want to humanize your brand and bring out a personality. So if you think of a person, they have values, they have how they dress, they have, you know, what interests do they have? They have personalities. How do they talk? This is all unique to people. And it's the same goes for brands. You have that unique stuff about you too. So let's bring that out. We're not creating anything that's false. We're just finding what's there and amplifying that and sharing that with the world. And then hopefully you attract the kind of people that will be attracted to your same values and personality.
Cool. So here we are focusing more on, you know, online branding, the website, where the website is the centerpiece of everything. Now in the prep sheet, you mentioned this very thing, count the I/U ratio. Now this is kind of interesting for me. Like I kind of understand this, but I still want to know what you mean by this word.
Right. And what I mean by that. So when we build a website, the number one mistake that we make is we focus in on ourselves. So we make ourselves the hero of the journey when we should actually be making the customer the hero of the journey, because it's their problem that you're trying to solve. You're the guide to solving their problem. So we need to make it more about them, focused on them, not so much us. We're really good at talking about ourselves because we're in our business and we do it every day, right? So it's really easy to talk about what we do, but we need to flip it and we need to look at our business from our customer's perspective. So how do they see us when they land on our webpage? What's going to make them stay there? What's going to hold their attention? And it's, if you've got their problem, if you know what their problem is, and you state that very clearly and state, you know, what is your problem? How do I solve that problem for you? What are you going to get? You want to make that very clear. So on your website, you don't want to be talking about yourself constantly. So that's if you keep talking about your credentials and your, you know, how many great things you've done, that's really not the place for it. Your landing page is not the place for it. That can go on your about page. What the customer wants to know is, am I in the right place? Am I going to get my problem solved? Is my pain going to be addressed? So you really want to count. How many times do I say us or I, and how many times do I talk about you? Does that make sense?
This is as important as logo and colors, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. If not more important. I mean, your messaging is what's going to connect you and tell your customer what you're all about and why they should hire you or use your service or product.
Okay, let's begin with things that we actually see first when you visit a website. One thing that is very common, especially when a website is made by someone who is new to the design world, or actually hasn't studied design as a design and just, you know, grabbing one element from here, there, you know, I like this section, so let's add a background image to this section and, you know, add bunch of colors. Hey, make one button bigger. This one, let's make it smaller. Now brand, you know, this visual inconsistency, you know, I see a lot now, because now we have page builders and all that stuff, which makes things easy. So people mash up 2-3 templates and the website is done. But the whole visual flow is actually lost because the design hasn't been done from the ground up. It's just they've grabbed a few elements from here and there.
Yeah, you're right. So not only that, and I'll talk about that, but inconsistent, you know, your website might be inconsistent with the other kinds of marketing you're putting out there too. So people don't recognize you. Like, imagine if your friend always, you know, changed their face every time you saw them, right? You wouldn't recognize them. So I like to always go back to the human example, but you're right. You know, to solve that problem, and this is where most people fail, is you need a brand guide. So you need to create a document that talks about, you know, this is a sample of how we do our ads, for instance, and this is what we look like online, and this is the color palette we use, and these are the fonts we use and how we use them and what sizes we use. So, you know, if your logo designer or your branding person isn't giving you that, then you need to find someone to do that for you. You need to create that visual standards guide, because you're going to have different people working on your brand. You're going to have some marketing people, some Facebook ads people, right? Some website people, other print designers. They've all got to be on the same page, and they've got to know what are the parameters we're working with here? And so that, having that document will really help make everything look consistent. And we know that consistent brands actually make about, on average, 23% more revenue. So if you show up consistently in the world, you're going to make more money. And isn't that what we all want to be doing?
See, if we start, saying this, like, just like you mentioned, that branding that has which is consistent or done properly makes more money, more people will jump onto it. But I think no one advertises this.
No. And it's, I mean, there's articles written about it and there's studies done to show that it's true. Brands that follow, you know, their visual standards. I mean, just think about the big brands. Like, you could cover up the logo. That's the true test. Like, you could cover up an Apple ad, a logo on the Apple ad, and you would know it's Apple, right? Right?
Yeah.
By the font, by the look of the photography, right? You would know. That's what you want for your own brand. You don't have to be a big multi-billion dollar brand to do this. You just have to start from the beginning and lay that foundation so that you have that moving forward.
Okay, not just we discussed one thing that results in mashed up branding is like a design created by a non-designer or someone who has not studied design. The other problem comes in when client becomes a designer and he just grabs 4 or 5 competitor branding, you know, signals, mm-hmm. and he gets, oh, I like the colors in this brand of my competitor. I like the visual aesthetics of this. So let's mash all together and become, so your client becomes a designer and he mashes up all like 3-4 competitor stuff. Like, how do you handle this kind of situation? I'm sure you've encountered such clients in your workflow for now.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, again, we have to back it up and start from the beginning. You know, what are you all about? Don't people look at brands that are successful and they figure, well, I have to be doing the same thing. But actually, you want to not do that. You want to find what we call white space in the marketplace and find out what is missing in the market that people are craving. What is maybe your competitor not doing that you could be doing that people want, right? So you don't want to copy your competitor in that sense, in your positioning and all that. And of course, in your visuals, there's no way to differentiate you. If you just look the same as somebody else, they're not going to remember your product. You're not going to be memorable, and they're not going to be able to find you again. So yeah, we have to start from the beginning and craft that personality. What are you all about and how do you want to show up in the world? Let's start there. And then from there, that will speak to all your branding assets, right? That will be the guide for that we use to create all those assets and those visual elements. And we'll know how you should show up online, right? If I was a stylist and you know, a lawyer came in and I gave him a pink mohawk without asking him what his job was or anything, and I just went ahead and gave him a pink mohawk and a leather jacket, he'd be like, this is not me, right? So you have to start with that. Who are you? How do you want to show up in the world? And that's where you start from.
Cool. Now, besides the visual aspect, the colors, the buttons, the fonts, the real thing is the text, the context, the message that you're delivering on your website, in which overall forms the branding stuff. And obviously there's something called copywriting comes into the picture, but even if we step backward from copywriting, in that, firstly, you need to decide on the language that you want to portray in terms of design and overall branding. And then obviously get the real content in terms of, you know, text. Now, a lot of people, just to sound a little more professional and technical, end up using very heavy loaded words from their industry, which obviously they understand, but their customers would not, or even the website visitor who may become their customer would not understand. Now, how difficult it is to tell them, hey, step back, we don't need to use these words, we need to simplify things a little.
Yeah, it is really hard to separate ourselves from what we do every day, because like you say, we're in it every day. We have our own slogans and our jargons and our abbreviations, and we tend to use those. And like you say, our customers just don't get it. They really want to know, am I in the right place? Are you going to solve my problem? Do you understand my pain? So again, it's taking that step back, and a good exercise to do for this is to craft your customer avatar. What are they saying when they're coming to you? What are they searching for when they're doing that search online on Google for your brand? What is that phrase that they're putting in? Use their words. They're going to feel like when they land on your homepage that, oh my gosh, you're in my head. Like, you totally know what I'm thinking. And yeah, you must be the right person for me because you're speaking my language. So we really want to take a step outside of our business and again, like face our business and look at our business through our clients' eyes. We always constantly want to be doing that.
Yeah, because I've seen a few websites where, you know, the main hero section of the homepage, like I saw one and the client came to me for refresh and the hero section didn't have any headline, any call to action button. It had a slider with few images and every image was showing the testimonial. And I said, why are you showing this in the front of your page, which is the prime location? He said, this is the main thing. I want to tell people what other people think about my business. And I said, you're telling them what they think about their business, but first you need to tell them what your business is all about.
Is, yeah. What are you? Like, where am I even? It's like, imagine if you were taking a trip to Florida and there was no road signs, you know, how do you know you're on the right path? How do you know you're navigating to the right spot?
Yeah. Some people just don't have those headlines or call to action. And some who have it would not make sense. That would make sense to them in their technical, geeky, jargonish language, but not to the people. So what are a few do's and don'ts to write headlines that actually work, or I should say actually convert?
Yeah. So again, think about what problem you're solving and what benefit they're getting and why they should care. So to write a good headline, you don't want to sound like a robot. You want to sound like a human wrote it. So, you know, instead of saying do not, say don't. Like, you wouldn't speak like that. You wouldn't say do not do this. You know, you wouldn't speak like that. So write how you speak. Try and connect with your audience on an emotional level. So use some action words and some power words. Try and inspire, like be inspiring in your headline and speak to that problem you're solving and what you can do for them. And then another nice trick is, you know, the thing we often do is we talk about our features. But if you look at any of, you know, Steve Jobs' old keynote speeches about their products, they never really mentioned that, you know, there's this many gigabytes in the camera. They didn't really care about that. It's about what you can do, how your life will change with, and they called it iPad, right? They didn't even say the iPad. They personified it.
Yeah.
How your life will change with iPad. So you create that human connection. Don't sound like a robot. Write how you speak. Use emotion. Speak to the problem you're solving and not just the features, but the benefits. And then go beyond that and ask, so what? So if, you know, I have a self-cleaning oven and it has, you know, convection technology and all this, you want to ask, well, so what? Well, impress your friends by, you know, you'll look like a professional chef if you use our oven, and don't ever have to worry about, you know, scrubbing and you know, you want to ask so what when you are looking at your features and benefits. How does it benefit that person? Like, what is that deeper level of benefit that they're getting?
Awesome. Yeah, now we have the headline at the right place and a little bit of description of the branding. The main thing where the people will, you know, or the visitors will click, the call to action flow. Now, I've seen websites where just there's one headline, two buttons, and we are done with it. Do whatever you want to do it. But from your experience, like, what should be the ideal? Obviously, that won't apply to every branding exercise, but in general, you know, rule of thumb, like if you have a headline, you have description text, and you have little call to actions, like what should be the general flow of call to actions within the, at least on the homepage itself?
Mm-hmm. So as far as a number of call to actions, that really depends case by case. But again, you want to back it up and ask yourself, what is the customer journey here? What do I want the person that lands on this website to actually do? So start with that flow, right? Start with, what do you want them to do? What's going to be that funnel that you create for them? And then as well, there's two kinds of calls to action. So direct and indirect. So what I mean by that, the direct calls to actions is like, book now, right? Book a call, buy now. The indirect is something a little softer. So it's a free download, or listen to my podcast, or sign up for an email newsletter. And you want both of those types of calls to action on your site, because, you know, before you can marry someone, you've got to date them, kind of thing. So, you know, when you're plotting out your page, you know, I like to think of a website in sections. So people scan websites. They don't read every single word on your website. So that's why it's important to have really good headlines. And so you're breaking down these sections that you, that people might possibly be interested in reading. And so I like to scatter, you know, to sort of pepper the page. So not just one call to action in the hero image, which is important, but after each section or couple of sections, kind of repeat those call to actions, because you don't know what people are going to actually land on, right? And you don't want to have to make them scroll up again or scroll down again. You want to kind of get them where they are. And also another tip is, you know, your calls to action should be clear. They should be not in the passive voice. So something like learn more or get started. I don't really know what that means. Like, get started? How?
But something that's most common, right?
Yeah, it is. But it's too passive. Like, you wouldn't go to some, up to some, like in your speech, you wouldn't go, okay, get started. Like, you'd be like, okay, let's book a call, right? Let's download this ebook, right? Tell them what they're getting and what action you actually want them to take. It's more direct, and they know what they're getting, and they're more likely to take that action.
And how do you spice this up with using proper images, or, you know, using images that don't just cover the page and cover the visual, you know, eye of the visitor, and not actually show the headlines and actual text or even buttons?
You mean the text behind the headlines? Is that what you're saying?
How do you like couple the text and buttons with images and other visual elements like videos, images, and these days we use vectors a lot, illustrations?
Yeah, well, anything you use, you want to, you know, make sure there's enough contrast there so you can read the text, obviously, and that it makes sense in context, right? So whatever you're talking about. I like to, if possible, I like to not use stock photography. If you have actual photos, right, of your clients, like people are smart, and you know, we're an educated society these days. We understand what the difference between a stock photo and an actual photo of your customers. So if you can, if you have the budget, work with a photographer and get some actual photos of your place or your people. And you know, that's another tip. It's like, you want to create that emotional connection with your clients, and nothing does that better than featuring images of people in pictures. So having your building there as the, you know, first thing people see on your hero image, not really going to cut it. But if you show, you know, happy customers working with you and the results, the outcome of working with you, those are going to connect a lot better. So that's my tips for imagery.
Yeah. And you mentioned that use real images, but guess what? Most websites still use stock photos, and stock websites are bustling.
They're so easy to get a hold of. And, you know, it's hard to do your hair up and get all done up for a photo shoot, right? That's intensive. So I understand.
But there are clients who understand that. Like, I have a few clients, and I said, you run an office and there are people in the office. Just take your phone and click few photos, and we'll mash it up and clean up on Photoshop and, you know, make them look good.
Totally. As long as there's good lighting and contrast and there's, you know, they're not blurry, then lots can be done with even phone photos these days. Yeah.
Now, design is a very subjective topic, you know. Everyone has their own perception. Like, you as a designer would think of designing a specific website for a specific business in your way, but the person who is the business owner would have the different perception, and you need to match your perception, and you need to find a common ground, you know, between your thinking, which obviously is, you know, supported by design foundations and fundamentals, whereas client is, you know, it's supported by the competition, the, you know, just to have more sales, sell more products and services. So how do you match this? Like, how do you find a common ground so both are happy?
Yeah, that's a great question. And, you know, historically, the agency and client relationship was really a one-way street. It was a one-way communication. Like, so the client would put out an RFP, and so the agency would you know, go into their bubble and respond to that RFP. And then the client would look at it and go yay or nay, and then send more feedback. So there was never any discussion, right? And I, with my clients, I like to facilitate that a discussion, and that I'm a partner with your business and let's figure this out together. I know the branding side, yes, but you know your industry and your business. So let's merge those two worlds together. Let's have a discussion and talk about, you know, how do you want to show up in the world and what's the solution there? And when we do this discovery process with the clients about, you know, what's your brand personality and what are your values and who is your core audience and what do they value and what are they looking for from you? When we flesh that all out, it's really easy. It's amazing the difference that makes in then creating the visual assets. You get a higher fidelity product from that because you can know, you can look at an ad or a logo and know, okay, we defined ourselves as bold, fun, you know, enthusiastic. I think this needs to be bolder and funner, right? So you're not saying, well, I'm looking at it and I don't like it, but I don't know why. You have no parameters if you don't define your brand first. So that's the nice part about defining your brand, having that that discovery process in place first before creating any assets. You have a measuring stick to use.
Curious, like in your discovery process, like nowadays, like earlier, not many people used to do video calls. They would maximum do audio calls and stuff. But now, do you do video with one-to-one with the client or with the person who is responsible for building the website in their company?
Yeah, so we start everything off with either in person or like what we're doing right now on Zoom, video conference discovery call. Mm-hmm. So we build the brand that way. So everybody is on the call. It's interactive. I'm asking questions. I'm gathering insights. And we're working out how you want to show up, you know, your messaging and your everything, your positioning on a call. And then at the end of that, everyone, you know, the company gets a guide, like a brand playbook. Mm-hmm. That showcases all of that. But sorry, what was your original question? How do I
communicate with them? Like, do you prefer doing video calls to understand the basic requirements in the beginning of the project?
Yeah, totally. Zoom calls work great. I can share my screen, so that's perfect. Or, you know, if they're in town with me, which is not always the case, we can go to a conference room. It's kind of up to the client.
And which are the most important components that get built in the branding process? Like, is it like mood board, design board? What are the main things that you build from your end in terms of finishing the branding stuff for the client to review and see?
So the discovery process yields the brand personality, mm-hmm. messaging, okay. the customer profile, customer journey. And I'm just trying to think of all the elements. Those are the basic elements. And then from that, we create what I call a brand board, which is like a style guide. It's like a curated piece where, you know, we put together some images and colors and fonts and patterns that, mm-hmm. that represent your visual. It's almost like doing those, you know, cut and paste vision boards kind of thing. So that comes after the discovery process and comes from the discovery process because we know all about your brand and your characters and your values and how you want to show up in the world. So that's the process. And then after that, we build the logos and the websites because we have a style guide that the client chooses. So they get two or three and they choose one and that's the visual direction. So that represents the style that we're going to use. Mm-hmm. So everyone's on the same page. So that's kind of the flow of it.
And once you're done with the logo, you get on with the copy and the imagery and the real thing, the real content that you could put on the website.
Mm-hmm. So after if they want to do a logo, not every client wants to redo their logo if they already have one. But yeah, after the logo would be, you know, the imagery, if they want a photo shoot, which we typically advise them to do, mm-hmm. for the website. And then, you know, comes the wireframing and all that, and then building of the website as well after that. But yeah, always start with, you know, that visual mood board. What is your design going to look like? And you know, how are we going to represent you in everything that we're doing?
Awesome. Now we've discussed a lot of design and branding mistakes. So did we miss any?
I'm trying to think. That's a lot. for your people to digest right now. I'm sure there are some. I'm sure there are, but we'll have to circle back to next time.
You know, every developer thinks he or she is a designer. So
I know. It's tough. It's tough. We all want to be great at everything, but we can't all be great at everything.
So. And these days, even designers can become developers thanks to a lot of tools. So the lines are blurred in a big way. Like everyone is an expert at everything here.
Oh, I stick to my lane. I am not a developer for sure. So I tried and I didn't like it. So I'm going to stick to my creative path here. I love it.
Awesome. So let's switch gears and talk about your toolbox. So what are your current five favorite tools that power your online business?
Yeah, so I was trying to think what I use the most. So recently I found an application called Later. It's a tool, a scheduling tool for Instagram. It's really great. I love it because I'm a little bit Instagram challenged.
And they're very few for Instagram because
most
tools don't work with Instagram, the scheduling tools.
Yeah, so this one's great. I can even do it. I'm not really that techie of a person. Another great tool that I just started using last year and it saved me a ton of time is Calendly, and it's a scheduling app for appointments. Yeah. I love that one. It's so great. And they have a great little interface that you can even, and it looks really good. If you want to put the calendar on your website as is, like as a full calendar, it actually looks really nice. Some of these other ones, they never used to look that visually pleasing. So I like that one. Of course, I use Zoom for a lot. I didn't even know about Zoom until 2 years ago. And then it was like, oh my gosh, this opens up a whole new world for me. So Zoom is awesome.
And it's very stable. Actually, it's
very stable.
Yeah.
Never had a problem with Zoom. So it's really great. And it's really affordable too. Another tool I started using for project management is Trello.
I know a lot of people.
Yeah, exactly. Drag and drop. I'm a very, you know, make it easy for me kind of gal. So I love Trello. I know a lot of people like other products like Monday and stuff like that, but I really like Trello. So far I like it. There's a couple features I wish they would add, but for the most part, it's pretty good. And Tidio is what I use for web chat on you know, my website. I like that one too.
Awesome. So which is your recommended web hosting service? I'm sure even though you are just into design field, but you have encountered
the
web hosting stuff.
Yeah. So I'm still with Bluehost. I've been with Bluehost for a lot of years and, you know, there's naysayers for all the hosts out there, but I've liked Bluehost. They're pretty good value for the speed that you get and whatnot and not a lot of downtime. So, couple other sites that I've had my eye on is SiteGround and A2. I hear a lot of good things about those ones.
I've been using SiteGround for the last 4 years now. I have two accounts there and it is amazing. Obviously, you will still find a person who will hate SiteGround, but as far as my experience, it's really good. It's way faster and it's value for money.
Yeah, so I might switch to SiteGround. So I just haven't gotten around to doing that, but I have had my eye on that one. So I'm glad to hear you like it too.
And obviously you are into design and branding, but I'm sure you've dwelled into the world of development by building your own website.
Yep.
So which is your favorite building tool, maybe a page builder here?
Yeah. So for a long time, and my site still is in Avada.
And it's 2020.
Yeah, I know. I did like that for a long time, but I have been tinkering with Elementor, and the part of Elementor that I like a lot is that I think on the client side, when they log in through the CMS, I think it'll be easier for them to actually manage things because it's much more visual, much more WYSIWYG and stuff like that. So
make changes and even destroy designs easily.
Yeah, that's the... That's the scary part. I always get scared handing clients the keys over, some clients the keys over to the back end of the website. It's like, oh. But the brand guide helps, right? So if you have that guide and you follow it, hopefully that would help you stay consistent.
Yeah, the client changed logo on one page, and you know, your logo was this, and guess what? You've changed the font style here. Oh, I was just tinkering with the drop down font options, and this font I liked it more, you know.
I know, it can be brutal sometimes.
Okay, so any recommended email marketing service that you do in your business?
I use MailChimp. That's the one I've known about for a long time. But again, I'm hearing a lot of great things about ConvertKit. I don't know if you've heard of that one.
Yeah, it's like the top of the line. But if you're jumping from MailChimp, I would suggest you to try MailerLite. I started using MailerLite a few months back. It is amazing. And it is, again, value for your money because it doesn't charge you arm and foot for basic email sending.
That's the only thing. ConvertKit doesn't have any free tools.
They recently launched it. Like they launched it like 2 weeks back, but it's limiting. I would just try MailerLite. It would fit you. Even the design aesthetics of MailerLite is really good.
Yeah, I find MailChimp a bit confusing to use. They keep changing where things are and it makes me crazy a little bit.
Yeah, but the MailerLite is like, the interface is really good and it's easy to use. And it has the basic features. It also has the advanced feature, not as advanced as ConvertKit or other big guys like ActiveCampaign. But, you know, for most people, the things that they have would be more than enough that they would use or even handle themselves. Exactly. So try it. It's really good. And last questions, any upcoming tool or service that has caught your attention recently in the design field or in the wider field of online world?
Well, in the design field, one life-saving app that I just bought, and I don't know if many designers listen to your podcast, but it's called Logo Package Express. So when you create a logo, you always are giving the client variations of that logo, black and white, white, you know, on, you know, reversed on black and stuff like that, and different formats, JPEG, PNG, blah, 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 blah. So it's really tedious to put that together yourself, but this thing does it for you in like three clicks. So you just put your logo in there and you specify what the word mark is and what the logo mark is and what the tagline is, and boom, 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 it creates all those files for you and all the formats for you.
Is it like an online tool or a software that you download?
It's a plugin that you put into Illustrator.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, it's amazing. It saves me so much time. So much time.
Awesome. So before we wrap this episode, where can people find you and what can you help people with?
Yeah, so you can find me. My website is beboldbranding.ca. Mm-hmm. And you can find me at beboldbranding.ca. Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn, same handle everywhere. And if you want to help standing out in your industry and creating a talkaboutable brand, that's me. I'm your gal.
And make less branding mistakes.
Right? Branding mistakes. That's right. I can totally help with that too.
Yeah. I was thinking we should recap the branding mistake. Probably we wouldn't because I'll recap them in the blog post of the podcast.
Oh, okay, sure.
Okay, Angela, thank you so much for your time. It was amazing talking to you. Have a good day.
You too. Thanks, Devinder.
You can join the free web creators community to learn and share with other web creators at webcreatorsgroup.com. And for more goodness, just head over to smartwebcreators.com. And remember, be smart, keep creating. See you next time.